fill me up, open the hearts and minds of each person. If I say anything that's not of you, let all of that be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this last couple of weeks, Dan kind of started a new series with us, and we've been looking through Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And I'd like the church to read this together, if we can. Is my mic out? Is the battery dead? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's read this together real quick. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We should keep this in mind, all of it, every day of our lives. These should be great examples that we're setting as we're walking out around in public and as we interact with others. This week, though, we're going to be looking at faithfulness, that particular passage in and of itself. Now, throughout this whole week, I have been going back and forth and reading, and I've struggled with it even at times. I wanted to see, what does faithfulness look like in the Bible? What does it really say? I want to understand it in a different way than maybe what I've read it before. How I can apply it to my life every day to make sure that I'm living it out. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And ultimately, to do that, we have to be faithful to Him. So, what is the biblical definition of faithfulness? As I was reading through, I came up with, there was a whole bunch of different areas, and everybody's got an opinion on it. But this is the one I came up with that I thought fits. It is a major word of faith in both the Old and the New Testament. The concept of faithfulness indicates that faith is more than a momentary expression of approval or an agreement to the truth of God. It is a full commitment to that truth. It manifests itself in complete obedience to God, no matter what the situation, whether it's popular or not. As people claim to be Christians, we're called to be faithful to God every second, every minute, of every hour, of every day of our lives. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just on Wednesday nights, or when it seems to fit our agenda, our schedule. What are you faithful to? A lot of times we're faithful to things that we value in our lives. Money, power, dare I even say sex? Just one more raise, you think. Just one more. One more promotion, and I'll finally be happy. A little bit more money. You know, money a lot of times is because there's material things we want, there's things that we enjoy. I like to fish. Everybody here knows I like to fish. I like my Harley. It's fun. But I have to make sure that God comes first. Tuesday night, I wanted nothing more to do than swing my leg over the bike and go out for a ride. It was more important to grab this than it was to get out there and ride. So we have to keep that in mind. A lot of times we'll sacrifice things that we shouldn't in our faithfulness because we're pursuing something that is not of God. We're more worried about the money. We put our families aside. Put our time in church aside. We take our devotional time out because we're pursuing other things. That's not God. And one I wanted to throw in there is sporting teams even. You can watch some people who are really into sports and stuff like that. And I don't want to hold anything against you if you're for sports, but we have to make sure that we're not making that an idol, that we're being more faithful to that than what we are to God. For an example, for a sports team, think of the Green Bay Packers. Their fans wear these huge little cheese heads on their head and everything else. Now, with that all being said, they're faithful to the team whether they're playing well or whether they're sucking. They're faithful to them. I'm not a fan of theirs, but I do find the cheese heads you know, believe it or not, there's times that we put stuff that we think are good before God as well, that we're faithful to. When we look at family, for example, this can be a hard one for some of us. We tend to put our family stuff sometimes ahead of God. We're more concerned about the kids making sure that they're on all sporting events. The next thing you know, There used to be a time when Wednesday night was completely open. Like, nobody had anything going on Wednesday nights, and Sundays you didn't either. You now have a full sports circuit running. It's Wednesday nights, Sundays, Monday through Saturday, Sundays. Parents aren't even having that time anymore for the date nights and that communication together. And they stop being faithful to the marriage union, and they're putting the kids before any of that. We're having these problems where our faithfulness is shifting from what God has directed each of us to do. And this is key in our law. We are called to live this out every day, is to make sure God and all that is placed first. Now, I want to share a fun little story with you guys about a young man who's running a race. And I had to actually laugh at this as I read it and as I came across it. And it fits. The command came. On your marks, get set, go. And the race was off. And a fine athlete sprang to the lead immediately. By the time the race was over, he had set a new state record. And only a few other runners even finished the race. Many dropped out when they found out they couldn't win. They weren't getting that first place. As the field crew was breaking out the hurdles for the next race, one of the judges yelled, "Get those hurdles out of here! We still got a runner on the field!" So all these people had dropped out. Somebody already won, and there's still a man chasing after. And around the corner came the runner just panting and staggering, and the crowd stood in silent disbelief as he had made his way over the last 100 yards and literally fell across the finish line, grinding his face into the center box. One of the judges ran over to the boy and turned to him over on his back and took a handkerchief and wiped the blood off his face. "Son, why didn't you just drop out? What are you doing in the mile race anyways?" Between gasps, the boy explained, the school he goes to had a really good 1 mile runner. Really good one, but he got sick just a couple days before the race. The coach had promised to have a man at every event. And so he had asked the boy to run the mile. The judge asked him, "Well, why didn't you just drop out when you saw you didn't win? Like everyone else." The boy answered, "Judge, they didn't send me here to quit. They didn't send me here to win. They sent me here to run a mile. And that's what I did." You know, far too many of us stop what we're doing. God's called us to, because it becomes difficult or it's not going exactly how we want. We stop that race early. We don't finish where God has put us. If we're truly placing value in our faithfulness to God, many different studies have been conducted where they could actually check out Christian lives and secular lives and what Christians do and how they act and how the secular world acts. That's the saddest results you've ever seen. It says there's very little difference. We stop short of that race. We don't finish. Yet, if we're truly placing our value and our faithfulness in God, it should be a huge difference. You should never hear someone say, "Well, I'm going to church on Sunday." You go to church. I know people who've gotten that response. Guilty of it myself, early on in my walk with God. "Do you go to church?" "Yeah, kind of a new thing." We need to be faithful because God is. David says in Psalms 33:4, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." This was King David speaking. David knew from his own life experience that he had to be faithful to God. Throughout David's life, God has always been faithful to him. Even when David failed, and David failed hard many times, but he always turned back to God. One of the most amazing things. So David let God down. God only seemed faithful. Think about David and Goliath. There is no reason that little man should beat that big man. Those two guys faithful. God combined with God or David. The same God that was faithful with David is the same God that is faithful with us. should enjoy and explore that.
In 2 Timothy 2:13, and I like the NLT translation the best for this, is, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. We have to remember that God is always faithful. It's in his nature. It is who he is, and that's all there is to it. You're called to be faithful just because God is faithful. Okay.
Now, God will judge us based on our faithfulness. And this is going to be the last point. This is the longest point of the message today. And I'm going to start off with taking a look at the story of faithfulness that we find in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, for those of you who want to follow along. Matthew 25, verse 14, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts his wealth to him. Just as this man was entrusted his wealth to his servants, God has entrusted all his wealth to us. He's given his son on the cross for us already. He's given us the gifts. He's given us the abilities to go out and do what he's called us. All of us are gifted in our own uniqueness. And God has provided that for us. And in verse 15, we find... Oh, so much better. Thank you. And verse 15, we find, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to other 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, according to their abilities, and he went on his journey. God gives his gifts to each of us accordingly to what he has called us to do. Some of us are called to be faithful to our families and to reach out to the people around us. To just be the hands and feet of Christ in our local community, as we go about life, to our families, to parents, for bringing up your children. Those are the gifts that God has equipped you with. Those are the ones. And then some of us are called to be Billy Graham. That's the case. It is what it is. That's the difference between the bags and stuff. None is greater than the other. It is simply doing what God has called each of us and uniquely talented each of us for. Together is how we make the hands and feet of Christ. That's why the gifts have to be different. In 16 through 18, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold went and gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. The first two were very faithful in everything they were given. They pursued, they took care of it, and they made sure to grow for the master out the gifts and everything that they were given. Now the last one is like a person who heard the gospel and turned his back on it. Wanted nothing more to do with it. Hid it away. Made sure nobody could see it. Made sure nothing else could happen. Every time we turn our back on God and focus on earthly things before we focus on the gift that he gave us, it's like taking those gifts and just throwing it into space. Now when the master came back to verse 19 to 23, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with him. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now the man with 2 bags of gold also came. The master said, you've entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. And see, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Yes, notice something. Both got the same response. There was nothing more that the guy who was great got that the one who wasn't didn't. The one with 5 bags versus 2. They all equal. The payout at the end is heaven. It is through Christ's blood that we've been given this. And it's just a matter of being faithful with what he's given us. I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait for the day I get to stand in front of him and I get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That should bring
bring joy to us. That should bring excitement to us. And then verse 24 through 26, we see the man who received one bag of gold. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I have harvested. And he ends up kicking him out. This man had the wrong idea of his master, if you really look at it. Just assume he was that. Some of us have the wrong idea about God. A lot of times, he's just this puppet master. He's somebody who, it's not going the way I want it, so it's all his fault and I'm out. I prayed about it, but it's not going the way I thought it should. Guess what? It don't work like that, folks. I got life experiences that tell me God does not work like that. Most of the time, it starts going, I'm to the point now where it starts going in a direction I didn't think it was going to. It's like, all right, what are you really thinking? Because I thought we were heading this way. Obviously, we're going this way. And that's a hard lesson to learn. We're called to be faithful. There will come a time when God will judge each and every one of us. And one of the ways He'll judge us is on our faithfulness. There will come a time when we stand in front of Jesus, all His glory, and He judges us. It says later in Matthew 25 that He will separate us like the shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goat on his left. And the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit. Now, the sheep of the people were faithful to God in all they did. The people in the right asked Jesus, what did we do all of this for you? And why? And the king will answer to them, truly I say to you, as you did it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And this is what being faithful to God looks like. It's going out and just doing the work that He's called us to. He uses each of us to the hands of God. And go out and share the good news. It's not just about handing out Bibles and going on mission trips and showing up on church on Sunday. Though those are great things. And it's everything to do with when we step outside these walls, and it's everything to do with how we act when no one is looking. When the door is shut in your home, and how you behave yourself, conduct yourself, shows a lot of who you truly are. When you're in an area that no one knows you, it shows who you truly are. Only your true faith lies. Stand here in church on Sunday mornings, bless you, bless you, bless you. Go home and swear like a sailor and throw everything else out. What's the difference? Where's your heart truly laying at? We're not swearing like feathers here on earth. We're trying to prepare ourselves for heaven. Make sure that we're right with God. You always set up the goats on the left. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared by the devil for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles, and then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. Francis Chan states it in his book, Erasing Hell, fantastic book, by the way. This is the last peaceful breath many will take before spending eternity in hell. Think about that. That was the last thing you get to hear peacefully. Away from me. Will you sound like the men who called out in desperation, Lord, Lord, did I not blank, blank, and blank in your name? Now, I don't say all this because I'm trying to scare somebody and think, oh, boy, am I going to hell or something. That's not the point today. I tell you this because I want to warn you that this is real stuff we face. If we're not faithful to God, these are real things.
do what God has asked us to do?
Are we being faithful to Him? Salvation is not brought on by works, but only by the saving grace of Christ.
You have to be faithful through that too.
Once you allow Christ to reign in your life, you should be transformed. And everyone should be able to see it. If God's really there, it shouldn't just be a Sunday morning and people outside the church can't tell you're a Christian. You should see it every day. Whether it makes popular with people or not, in our society nowadays, it's not exactly the most popular thing. But I tell you what, I don't want a single person here today to ever hear away from me. I want to share a story of a young man who had a college ministry going. And it's an interesting story. It's a hard story, but it shows you that no matter what position someone is in, you can fail. But we have to remember the good news is that we have Christ's blood. So this young man had a college ministry. He started it on a secular campus. Okay, so there wasn't a Christian campus. Wasn't any of that. He had this college ministry going. And it first started off with about 20 people, and it grew to 50, and then it doubled to 100. And next thing you knew, there was about 500 students meeting every week, hearing the gospel message and sharing it, preaching. It's an amazing story if you think about it. But see, this young man is still human, and he did as a lot of us do on our daily basis. We lose our focus sometimes on Christ, and we lose what He's called us to do to stay faithful to Him. And he thought, you know what? I can go do this, this, and this occasionally. It'll be okay. I know it's not what God wants, but it'll be okay. And he went literally to the point that he's got this thriving ministry going. He's got all this stuff. And he would travel 100 miles or so away every now and then to go party. Have a little fun. Do a little drugs. It ain't gonna hurt nobody. Who's gonna know? How's it going to affect anyone? One weekend he does that, gets up and travels. He's 100 some miles from home, has a crazy night, big dance party going on, everything else. The next morning he wakes up. He's like, oh man, what happened last night? There's a girl laying next to him. He's like, all right, morning. She does the same thing. He's like, good morning. Only here's your client. Oh boy, she's crying. What happened? She's trying to figure it out. Are you okay? He asked her two or three times, are you okay? Finally, he caught what she was thinking. She steps in, I thought you were different. He's like, wait, what? She goes, you might not recognize me, but I've been coming to your services for the past month. I thought there was something different about Christians. I thought there was something different about who God is, but now I see they're no different than anyone else. Now, I use that story because, yeah, that's a little bit on the extreme, hopefully, for a lot of us. Some of us, it's not. But don't be this young man. We are called to be the hands of feet no matter where we're at. You don't know when you're going to run into somebody. You don't know what you're going to end up doing. But I have some really good news for you if you screwed up. Even this is the day that we all have a chance to change. Christ came, He died on that cross, He hung it up there for our sins. For all of that stupid stuff we've done, that's what He came for. So that we can be right, and when that day comes, we can hear good and faithful servant. The penalty's been paid. All of it's done. And today's the day for a fresh start. C.S. Lewis says it best.
Did I get C.S. Lewis quote up there? I got it here.
You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending.
I don't care where you're at, but I really don't. I don't care what you've done, what area of life you struggled with, all that. None of it is nothing that Christ can't overcome. He's already done. Died on the cross 3 days later, He raised. Dear Father, thank you today just to get together and to worship you and just to look, dive deeper into you. Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, and each and every single thing that he did for us. Father, I just ask that you watch over us.